millennial kingdom, the new Jerusalem, and the new heaven and the new earth. So last week, we've basically finished up the scene in heaven. What is heaven looking forward to? Well, it's looking forward for the seven seal book to be open. Where is it? Right now, it's in God the Father's right hand. You know who sits on God the Father's right hand? God the Son. Okay. What is it? It is the title deed to the earth. It's written on the outside and on the inside. On the outside are the what's basically like a table of contents. On the inside are the specifics for this. And then we're going to see these seals. Who can open it? Well, there's supreme worthiness required. Only Christ. There was no man in heaven, under heaven, or on the earth that could open this. And it shows that our absolute worthlessness of man is revealed. And because there was no man that was able to open the book, John weeps in verse 4. Then the Savior accepts the challenge. He alone is worthy. In chapter 4, we see the four beasts and the 24 elders, and everybody's crying out and singing in heaven that He alone is worthy. He's worthy in royalty and power as the Lion of the Lamb of Judah. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, it talks about the scepter will not depart out of Judah. And then he's heir to the throne as the root of David and who has prevailed. And we know that from Acts 13, 22 and also Psalm chapter 110, verse 1. In redemption, he is the Lamb of God. So he's worthy because of his royalty. He's worthy because he's of the root of David. He's worthy because he's the Lamb of God and redeems us. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, it talks about we are redeemed with what? The precious blood of Christ, who was the Lamb foreordained before the beginning of the world to pay for our redemption. And then his work is he takes the seals. He takes the book. Daniel chapter 12, verses 7 and 9, we see that Daniel is told that he is to write the things down, but what? Seal them in a book. When the rapture happens and all these things happen, there's going to be people looking for the scripture. There's going to be 144,000 witnesses. There's going to be two witnesses on CNN all the time.
Amen.
Okay? And they're going to talk about God's judgment.
Amen.
And all those things that have been concealed through the centuries and through millennia are going to be basically brought forward. In verses 8 through 14, we see heaven's reaction. The four beasts and the 24 and 20 elders worship and praise and thank God. Then the angels. There are 10,000s of 10,000s and then thousands of thousands. That's bigger than the national debt. Try to get your mind around how big this number is. That's bigger than our national debt. Bunches of them. And they're all crying out. And we had a little exercise about all of us saying amen together. And that was pretty impressive, huh?
Amen.
Amen. Okay? And then there was seven things he's worthy to receive. Creation will worship him. And then we need to be always refocused on the throne. And I love Ronnie's message Sunday night that we need to understand that Christ, the Lord God, is high and lifted up above all the earth. So tonight we're going to see the first six seals if we get this far. But in Revelation chapter 6, and that God's judgment comes on time. You know, we ask, what time is it? Your kids. Is it food yet? Or when are we going to get there? All these things. But God's judgment is on time. Heaven is waiting for these seals to be opened. Heaven is waiting for the Lamb of God to take the book. Hasn't happened yet. Now, in way of context, Christ himself preached this. If you want to take your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 10. This is the Olivet Discourse, and it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man," what? deceive you. There's a lot of people that are interested in Revelation, but you've got to look at it from the truth. Yep. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not what? Yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We need to be looking forward to this. We need to be understanding that we need to redeem the time. We need to understand that Christ is coming back. And as Revelation ends, we should say, even so come what? Lord Jesus. So, in verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 6, we see the first seal. It is a white horse rider, okay? And it's a false peace. In verse 1 it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, a lot of people say, we know that there are seven seals. And after the seven seals, there are seven trumpets. And then after the seven, and the seventh trumpets, there are seven bowls or vials. They're all sealed up in the book. They are all chronological. There are some people that believe that they are just like more of a definition or an explanation of what the seals are. No, there are 21 of these things. And they get bigger and they get more intense as time goes on. So, what we see here is we see a false Messiah. Some people say that this is Christ. Christ is not on this horse. Christ is in heaven opening the seals. Christ comes back after the marriage supper of the Lamb. He comes back later in Revelation at the end of the day of Jacob's trouble, at the end of the 7 years. But he's wearing white. He's got to be God. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14 says, And not no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a what? Angel of light. See, Satan wants the world to believe that he is the Messiah. Satan wants to have him. All you have to do is believe in him, do your own thing, and you'll get to heaven. That's not true at all. So he comes out and he is a false Messiah. In fact, the person that represents Satan is called the what? Antichrist. So this is the Antichrist. This is Satan personified. But Satan's not God, so he's not in three persons. He has agents working for him. What happens? He goes forth to conquer and to bring what? A peace. But it's a false victory. He wears a crown. Now the verse in this section here, he gets a crown. But he doesn't get a crown of a diadem. He gets the victor's crown, the same type of crown that someone who wins a race gets. Satan gets a tactical victory here. He gets a short-term victory here because he's going to set up his Antichrist and there's going to be a false peace. But it's not the crown of the sovereign. It's only the crown. It's a temporary crown. It's not the crown that will endure, because there's only one worthy enough to wear that, and that's Jesus Christ. So there is a false Messiah. He brings a false victory. And interesting, in this picture, he has a bow, but not what? There's no arrows. There's no arrows here. Okay? Because really, he's powerless unless God allows him to do what he does. And so he manipulates things and brings a peace to this. What is everybody focused on? We've got to have peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 7, 26 and 27, we know this timing here. And it says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself, and the people, the prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he," who's the he? The Antichrist, "shall confirm with the covenant." So this guy on the white horse, you know, we always see these fairy tales. And your hero rides in on a what? A white horse. We're set up for this. We're set up in our human mind for this. People are wanting a world leader. Believe it or not, they want to follow somebody. They don't want to think on their own. They want to follow somebody. And someone who can win peace in the Middle East could be the world leader. There's a lot of people, and you can go out and you can read it. There's a lot of people said what this world really needs today is a dictator. We're set up for it. We're set up for it. And it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." We already know that these are what? Weeks of years. So 1 week is how many years?
7 years.
"And in the midst of the week," now midst means middle, so there's 3.5 years, okay? "He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." See, you're desolate without Christ. Satan will only bring a false peace with a false victory. And he will also bring an empty quiver, because inside of him it's all vanity. So there's the first seal. The second seal is the red horse rider. Now, if you remember our study in the book of Zechariah, we saw four people on horses. We saw four carpenters. We saw four of these four. And these are the kingdoms. And the fourth kingdom is the Roman Empire. Daniel saw the same thing. But in verses 3 and 4 of Revelation, it says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see." Now, really, this should be translated more as go. Go and do God's judgment. What? Go and do God's will. We need to go and do what God commands us to do. "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereupon to take" what? "Peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." So we already know that this peace is not an everlasting peace. The only one that can bring an everlasting peace is God. Amen. Through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the peace that's brought is an ineffective peace. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22 says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." You know why? Because it's not in Satan's character. It's not in his agent's character to bring peace. Because in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So, what follows peace? War. What follows war? No. What are the outcomes of peace? Of war? When you watch CNN or you watch something like, what do you see? You see destruction and desolation and people not eating and people... Yeah. So that leads us to the third seal, verses 5 and 6. It's the black horse rider who is famine. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard a third beast say, "Come and see." Now, who are these beasts? These are the four beasts that were before the throne. We've already been introduced to them in chapter 4 and chapter 5. It says, the third beast said, "Come and see." And I beheld, and in a black horse, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine." A measure, this word for measure is actually quartos, which we get our word of quart from. A measure of wheat is what a normal person would go through in a day. So, a penny, remember the parable that Christ talked about? He says he's going to go out and get laborers. He goes out in the morning and he says, "Will you work in my fields today? I'll give you a what? Penny." And then he goes on and he says, everybody that gets a penny, even the ones that worked an hour, got a penny, because a penny represented a day's worth of work. It's a denarius, okay, which is a Roman coin that is basically one day's worth of work. So quantifying this famine here, we see that your day's food comes from you working all day. And you're just what? Scraping by. Folks, it's time to live a victorious life. It's time to live an abundant life. It's time to get all the things out of our life that just makes us scrape for the day. And we should be able to live beyond that. And we should put things behind us that would that would inhibit that. And then it says, three measures of barley for a penny. Now, barley's a grain too, but barley's not as good as wheat. Barley is used typically to feed animals. Remember the prodigal son? He winds up giving up all of his riches and winds up eating what? The husk. He wanted to eat the husk in the pig pen. So here we have, in order just for you to be filled, you just eat a bunch of fluff. Like eating sawdust, or taking a diet pill, or eating a sponge. It swells up in your belly and makes you feel full, but really masks the problem. There's a lot of people hungry for the Word of God. There's a lot of people out there hungry. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. So, it's a poor substitute for wheat. And so what we see is war brings desolation. War brings everybody's scrapping for this, and now they're just fighting, they're just scrapping to just survive. But then we need to qualify the famine. It says, hurt not the oil and the wine. These things are still in existence, and they are now considered luxury items. The oil and the wine are stuff that they were using every day, and now the mundane becomes the luxurious. See how much desolation that Satan can bring into a person's life. He seeketh whom he can devour. So this is all God. So it trying to hang on to what remain. There's a lot of people trying to hang on to what's remaining just to get by. Folks, we should not hang on. We need to understand what God's grace has done for us. And we need to live in God's grace. And we need to show that to other people. And we can show that in our relationships. We can show that in our ministry. We can show that in all aspects of our life. And we need to show that. So there's the third seal, which is the black horse rider, which is famine. Now wait a second here. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. Kingdom will rise up against kingdom, and there will be what? Famine. That's what Christ said. So these seals are fulfilling God's will. They are fulfilling God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word of this will what? Pass away. So that's the third seal. The fourth seal, there's the pale horse rider, which is mass death. In verses 7 and 8, it says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." And the previous verses, we saw people killing each other. And now we see the mass result of this. So it's the ominous agents of Satan. He was a murderer from the what? The beginning. Satan wants to come into this church and murder whatever's alive. We've gone through the seven churches, and you know, to the church of Sardis, the thing is, keep the things which are ready to die and fix them up so you can have the name that you're really worthy to be called of. So we see the ominous agents here. Pale. It's ashen. Okay, and ash is what? Gray. And we're talking about being consumed. What's burned up. And it's green. So this pale horse is an ashen green thing, which really represents decaying corpses. You see things that you go out and you set a pound of hamburger meat out on your countertop. Just let it sit out there for a couple of days and see what it comes back as. And this is where the earth is. This is where the earth is. And then there's a burdensome or an onerous amount. 25% of the earth's population is killed. And it's a result of the war, famine, and violence. What Christ taught his disciples, what we're looking at tonight, and we need to heed what God says. So there's the fourth seal. The fifth seal, martyrdom of believers. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, "And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?'" Now, where are these people now? Where are the souls of these people now? In heaven, okay? When Christ died, where did he sprinkle his blood? You go to Hebrews, he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in heaven for our redemption. So some people say this is the altar of incense, or some people say it's the altar of sacrifice. It really doesn't matter. We know that the pattern given in the wilderness was a pattern of the things in heaven. And white robes were given unto every one of them. If you're in heaven and you're a resident of heaven, you will have a white robe. But you only get there one way, through God. "And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, okay, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." Okay, now let's talk about this real quick. Who are these brethren? Who are these people?
People that are saved.
Yeah, but
that were saved during
the... Are they Israelites? Who was slaughtered in the Old Testament? The prophets. Who were what? Israelites. So it says brethren. So these are just like the Old Testament prophets here. And fellow servants. So the martyrdom of the believers is the fifth seal. Their location is under God's altar. They're under God's altar. Their legacy could be kind of explained in Matthew chapter 23 at 35. Where Christ approached the Pharisees, who thought that they were religious and thought they had the answer to everything. It says, and upon... Now look at this first sentence here. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Here Christ is talking about Israel shedding precious blood. Okay, we see this happening, you know, right at the same time here. And it follows chapter 24, follows chapter 23. So Christ is given the same thought. He's given the same thought to his disciples. He's given the same thought to us now. He says that you may come, that upon you, remember what they said about Christ? Let his blood be upon who? Us and all our children. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Bacharias, whom ye slew between the, where? Temple and the altar. There's been a lot of people die for the cause of Christ. We already saw that in some of the churches. Okay? They died. They gave their lives up for the cause of Christ. Folks, we need to be sold out like that. We need to be sold out like that. And in the tribulation period, you have a tough choice. You either accept the mark of the beast or you die if you get found. That's a tough choice. Why not accept Christ now if you don't know him? First of all, if Christ came back tonight and you're lost, I don't believe you have a chance. But it says, between the temple and the altar. And so what happens is this, they're long suffering. They ask Christ, how long? This gives the impression of a long time. Years upon years upon years upon years. And folks, what does that take? If we wait upon the Lord, that requires faith out of us. God will be judge. God will avenge. God will bring righteous judgment. He will do all those things. And they're long suffering. And when is this all going to be brought about? When the ones die in the tribulation period. And then they all be one. So now we see the sixth seal. And, you know, we could go into this in very big depth. I think later on chapters, we need to go in further depth on stuff. But this is pretty self-explanatory here. So the sixth seal is physical disturbances. Everywhere one looks on the earth, stuff happens. See, there is no hiding from God's judgment. God reaches everywhere. And we need to understand that we can't hide from him. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, it says, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Matthew chapter 24. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree causeth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. When a large meteorite hits the earth, it makes big news. It makes a big noise, but it makes big news. Think of probably hundreds or thousands of these. And everywhere people look, it's happening. There's earthquake. You go out to California, you see the results of the earthquake. If you drive up from LA to Lancaster, you can see the San Andreas Fault, and you can see all these plates. And all this stuff, the earth just falls apart. It just falls apart. And so they're looking around here, stuff falling back, and then verse 14. Yeah, we heard this in Zechariah 2. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There's never been an earthquake like this. You know why? Because the earth has never undergone God's judgment. Except the flood. This is huge. So, physical disturbances. You know, think of the YouTube videos and the things that you see when there's earthquakes and people film them. And what are people doing? They're screaming, they're running for their lives. We see these movies where there's all these asteroids and stuff hanging and people are running and they're trying to hide. There is no hiding from God's judgment. And folks, in our own personal life, there is no hiding from God. There is no hiding from God. So everywhere one looks on earth, there's this stuff happening. When this one seal happens, but we're not even halfway there yet. And then everyone on earth is affected. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17, it says, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man." I think that kind of covers everybody, right? Okay. "Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." You know, there's people who say, "Well, I'll just get into my Armageddon bunker and I'll be all right." I don't think so. If the mountains can't save you, a few feet of concrete won't. There is no escape God's judgment. There's no escape His insight and His discernment. "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne." And it's interesting, look at this contrast here. "And from the wrath of the Lamb." When we think of all these calamities, we think of this monster thing. And we have the Lamb of God. "They looked on Him whom they pierced." He's going to come down one day and split the Mount of Olives wide open, where He preached that message from. And we also saw back in chapter 5 that the Lamb has what? 7 eyes. Okay? Which is the number of perfection. And here's the deal. Why? Because it's just getting started. The 7th seal is about ready to be opened. And there's 14 more judgments coming. And it's worse. It says, "For the great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" No one can stand in front of a holy God. We need to empty ourselves and basically fall on our faces in front of Him and ask Him to search us daily, that we could be pleasing to Him. And the question tonight is, you're going to be in one of two places. You're either going to be here, and there is no hope, or you can be there with the peace of God. Where will you be? Let's stand. I'm just going to have David sing tonight. I want to search our hearts, and then I have something I need to discuss with you after this. But if God's spoken to you tonight, and we need to do business with God, this is the time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask people with this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and just help us, Lord, to follow You. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.